Oh my God!
Yeah, what show is this?
We are back. This is the No Cursing Show.
Yeah, you cursed before the show started.
I know. I was trying to get it out of my system. This is Asian Cult Cinema, a Radio St. Pete exclusive Asian Cult Cinema. This is show 58 for those of you keeping track at home. My name's Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius
from Parts Unknown, and this is the radio show bringing you crazy Asian cult cinema.
From A to B grade to Z grade, Asian cult cinema.
Now, we're going to have to start the show with a PSA, a warning. I don't want to shock anyone's system, but Sonny Chiba is not in this week.
Oh, my God.
If you want to hit stop and wait, I'm sure next week we'll have Sonny Chiba.
He wasn't one of the villagers in this movie?
I'll have to check my facts. Hold on. No Shiba. There is no Shiba in this week's show.
No, but there is. But there is a kung fu. There is kind of a kung fu thing because John Carradine was David Carradine's father, who was kung fu. So there's a kung fu connection to this.
Well,
John Carradine
fu,
is in this movie, and a lot of doctors who back then smoked cigarettes because it was when they're operating on people because it's a good thing, you know.
Well. I know that we've broken the 8 weeks in a row Sonny Chiba watch, so sorry, everyone. If you're
now we're going to get into John Carradine.
There's enough of them. If you're a purist, just turn the show off. We apologize. I'm sure next week we'll be right back to having Sonny Chiba.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Not next week. No.
It's going to happen. All Chiba, all the time.
Oh, the Chiba channel. What do we call it? Asian Chiba.
Chiba Cinema Classics.
Yeah, CCC. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. No, next week I should do Skip Trace and make you watch that Johnny Knoxville and Jackie Chan
no,
movie.
Please.
Do you have Netflix?
No, I don't.
You would say no anyway, just so
I
don't.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sonny Chiba.
I watched that this week. It's the latest Jackie Chan movie, and you see Johnny Knoxville, and you're like, oh, well, whatever.
I know, and it
was okay, but boy, just.
Johnny Knoxville took the Chris. What was that guy?
Chris Rock.
No.
Chris
something or other, you know, role or whatever in Rush Hour. How
many Rush Hours were there?
Three.
See, now I love Jackie Chan, but I contend some of these later movies not so good.
The Tuxedo.
I think he had to do like five movies for Disney, and those were terrible. Because Disney doesn't understand what Jackie Chan is, and then he's getting older, and he was still doing his own stunts because they still did that blooper reel at the end where they're getting hurt. And then Johnny Knoxville's getting hurt because he's doing his own stunts because
well,
who cares?
Wasn't his whole gig getting hurt anyway?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and you're like, oh, I don't want to see you get hurt anymore, Jackie Chan. Please let people do stunts for you, but nah, you know.
Nah, whatever.
if you want to see someone do that, then you just watch a Steven Seagal movie and they just have his face glued on a punching bag and throw it around and
something like that, yeah.
But enough about that.
No.
Nothing, huh? Wow.
No. I know what you're going to say.
All right, good. All right, wow. I did get a, you know, I don't buy pop vinyl figures.
I have a few that were given to me.
That's what happens. I now have a large collection, and they've all been given to me. But today I got a, I had a Godzilla one that was given to me for Christmas,
I
think.
Right here. And then this one, I'm sorry, I'm talking off screen.
So then this one is Godzilla vinyl figurine number 239, and this is the one that has the glow in the dark blue down his spine
cool.
and on his
oh,
eyes.
That's cool. That's different.
Oh yeah. That, Paris and Man with No Name chipped in and got this for me, and thank you. It was awesome.
Okay.
I mean, and Inkstress got me this Godzilla. Parting gifts, you might say.
Oh, I know who Express is.
Yeah, she's a friend. Paris and Man with No Name seem to be building my pop vinyl collection quite a bit. I have they do have, and they said it's over at Emerald City, they have a King Kong holding a helicopter.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It looks
kind of cool, and I was like, you know, I should buy that and put King Kong next to Godzilla. That'd be pretty sweet.
Oh, there is a movie.
And see, that's the thing. That's how pop vinyl gets you. Eventually, they're going to pique your interest, and eventually you're going to go, oh, I guess I'll just buy this one. And eventually you're looking at three walls of pop vinyl.
Not me.
Good. Fight the power, man.
I've always fought the power, much to my chagrin.
You don't always win, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, I fought the law, but the law won.
Law does win.
Yeah, but so, sometimes you win. You know, I don't know how good you win.
If you're listening, and I know you're not, thank you very much from everyone for some of the parting gifts for Godzilla Mania running wild on me. Everyone at work wore a Godzilla armband in my honor. It's funny. It's kind of cool. It's touching, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's better than getting your ass booted out of there.
Yes. So, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to have to go back and reverse the A word.
No, it's a donkey.
Oh, yeah. Better than getting your donkey removed.
Yes. Your donkey kicked.
Ay, es mío, poquito burrito.
Ay, Dios mío, no puedo hablar ni no puedo decir ninguna palabra porque siempre me quieren quitar la palabra. Hay censorship.
You didn't curse, did you?
The last one was in Spanish, a curse, but who cares?
The Spanish listeners that are going to tell on us.
Do you mean, you know, the two?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Juan this Valdez is Asian cult cinema.
This is Mexican cult cinema. This is Spanish cult cinema.
This is not that. Any
we
of
should
that.
Do that, but, you know.
No, because I said they're going.
Maybe there's a Spanish Asian movie. I think there might be one. I'll have to find it. Spanish Asian cult production. Yeah, that might
why
be
not?
Interesting.
That would be interesting.
It would be.
And if you speak in Spanish, I'll just sit there going, ¿qué? 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 And I'd be all like, and just,
¡ay, Dios mío!
¿Qué?
¿Qué es eso?
¿Qué?
¿Qué mentira?
Ay.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Tonight.
Yeah, well, that was the ventriloquist guy.
So, yes, this week we picked, you picked.
I picked.
Half Human from 1958.
Not whole human, but half human.
I'm going to read you the official, and then we're going to go to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about it.
John Carradine is in this, right?
John Carradine. Now, you might know him. He's made famous by 150,000 movies he's done,
yes,
and that his
least.
Son hung himself while masturbating. Okay, let's see.
Can we say that word?
Yes, it's clinical. All right, so Japanese villagers worship a monster and his son who live in an island cave. Some circus people hear about them, go to the island and to capture the monster and wind up shooting its son. Then the trouble starts. Director Half Human, 1958. Director Kenneth G. Crane.
He directed the American scenes.
Yeah. Ishiro Honda. Whatever.
Subaraya did the effects.
So John Carradine is Dr. John Rayburn. Let's see. Momoko Koichi is the girl. And she was in the Mysterions. She was in a lot of the Godzilla stuff.
She's the girl that had the big boobs.
Yes, I've seen her a million times.
She was in King Kong vs. Godzilla. She was a dancing girl, I think, or something.
Akira Takarada is the boy.
He was in Godzilla movies.
Akami, I think he was the love interest from the girl.
He was
the
love
girl.
Interest.
Yeah.
He wasn't the boy. He was love interest.
The love triangle that was mostly cut Godzilla, out of the American version, but yes. It's in there a little bit. Okay, then Akami Nagashi is the mountain girl, and she was from Six and Fury, one of my favorite movies ever.
Wow. She's the one with the big boobs.
Yes. I thought you had it mixed up, but it doesn't matter.
I get my boobs mixed up all the time.
Yes. She's from one of my favorite. If you don't know what Sex and Fury is, go out and buy a copy, and then it will become your favorite movie in the whole world ever. Okay, then Russell.
No, that would be
Godzilla, the first one.
No,
then it's Sex and Fury.
That would be my favorite movie of all time would be Beavers from Outer Space. What was it called?
Disco Beaver from Outer
Disco
Space.
Disco Beaver from Outer Space. That would be my favorite.
If you don't know
movie.
What that obscure joke is, wait about 3 years and then listen to Slow Robot A Go Go.
It's on YouTube. Check it out, kids.
Yes. Okay. So then Russell Thorson is Professor Philip Osborne. Robert Carnes is Professor Alan Templeton.
You're killing the English language again.
Then blah, 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 blah. Who cares? All right.
So,
so Go see Sex and Fury, and then when you come back, listen to the rest of this. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about Half Human.
Half Human.
Oh, half English, half not dubbed.
Yeah, pretty much half narrated.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
You are invited to witness a shattering adventure in total fright.
Lucas! Watch me when I kill!
Prepare yourself for shock after shock, for horror beyond belief, and spine-tingling suspense that never lets go.
Watch me when I kill!
You have never experienced the sheer terror, the menacing suspense that awaits you when you see...
Watch me when I kill!
You will watch it happen. You will be there when the unseen killer stalks his unsuspecting victims. Scream if you wish, but nothing will stop him. Are you ready to accept this invitation?
Watch me when I kill!
Rated R.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, watch me when I kill. That's just called a witness. Anyway, So, yes, now on to Half Human. And all of its John Carradine glory. And all of its David Carradine glory.
There was a director. There's not the guy. This one, the American stuff and the whatever, the chopping up was done by probably Kenneth Crane.
Yeah.
But there was a director called Jerry Warren who used to do this kind of thing where they would buy a foreign movie and instead of having to dub it because it would cost too much money, they would just shoot some scenes and try to narrate through the movie.
That's what they did with this one.
And this movie, I think, is missing like a half an hour or more full footage. But the movie's kind of cool, actually, you know?
I didn't mind it. And that, now what we're saying is basically they took an existing Japanese movie, a creature feature kind of ape-man, King Kong must have just hit, and it was, or, you know, whatever it was hitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they took it, and they spliced in parts of John Carradine and the two American professors, and then he would say, well, now what happened when we got this little ape-man... is, and then they show the film, and he narrates over it, like explaining to, like he's talking to his friends, explaining what you're watching. And it worked though; it wasn't bad.
It would have been nice if they had the money to do like a Godzilla, where they're gonna shoot some scenes where he would have been like at the village, but maybe not with the natives, maybe far away, but at least being like
on a ship, or
being
whatever,
like a ship. Or being off the coast so he could, like, experience what was going on. But there was none of that because, this was low budget operation.
Made for a dollar and a wish. And
yeah,
John
Carradine.
Yeah,
the Japanese would, like, export these movies for, like, nothing.
There wasn't money in it.
No.
No, if anyone even showed interest, they were like, whatever, send us some American beer and we're fine.
Yeah,
like,
we're happy with what you give us.
Yeah,
you know?
they didn't care because now this stuff is, like, gold.
Yeah.
Because it became cool. It became cult, you know, or pop. So, you know, so that's the difference. Because, boy, you know, you could tell there wasn't nothing in this production. Money-wise, it was fine. It wasn't like it was a bad production.
But the John Carradine stuff, the American stuff, was maybe, what, three scenes?
Yeah.
They shot in a day.
And then he just talked over the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, Carradine
was... He had one of those memories, photographic memories, where he would just read the script once and he knew it already. So he did it like this.
Really?
Yeah, he probably did the whole thing in like 2 days. Maybe.
Wait, that's true?
Yes, he had a photographic memory. They said that people that work with him said he would read the script and he would know exactly, you know, okay, you know, if somebody else messed up, hey, that's on them. But if he, whatever he had to do, read it once and boom, done. And he, at this point, he'd already made like 150 movies, so... You know, this narration was done in 2 days, maybe, or less than that.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So basically, they're like these three professors, and they're talking about an expedition that was going on in Japan, and it starts off with what these people are skiing.
Yeah, this is the story about these lovers who were skiing and they got caught in an avalanche and you know it was.
Yeah, basically they're skiing and then they stop at this. They're supposed to go to like this, lodge or whatever. Yeah. But then there's like an avalanche and then their friends were in the other lodge, so they call them up to like to see if they're okay, and they can't get a hold of them.
Right.
So they're like, oh my god, what happened? You know, I wonder if like an avalanche happened or they were killed or whatever. So I think eventually they do get a hold of like the other people.
One of them, but they're just screaming.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, we don't need any more of this, you know.
Yeah, right, right. So then they get another expedition together. And they go to the place where it was
they traverse up the hill, and they get to this lodge, and then they find a dead guy.
Yeah.
And then they go out and they find other dead people, but they're like mutilated, right? Isn't that
right,
how
right,
it was?
Because yeah,
it wasn't like from the avalanche. Something else got him
or whatever, you know. So they're like talking about it. Well, you know, there was a legend of some kind of a abominable snowman there that was that they were, you know, and then we went out and we heard about this and we went out to look for it and blah, 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 you know. And then, okay, and then I think it cuts back to the story again.
Yeah, it does.
When the people are like, you know, the group that survived go out and they get into a tent, right?
Right. And then the hand comes in and touches the girl's
cheek. And
then
you see the face of the guy and it's like some king, it's like the... It's like some
monkey man,
primate, or whatever.
But it's
cool makeup.
It's
yeah,
like
it looks effective.
It's an abominable snowman / ape man looking thing. You know, it looks just like that
missing link.
Yeah, it looks just like that grainy picture of Bigfoot, basically. You know.
Yeah, like Bigfoot.
But it's done well because this is, you know, this production is, Ichiro Honda, Godzilla fame,
this is
the same place made this.
And it's in black and white, so it's got some nice moody
photography. Oh my god.
In it.
That is something, and I've said this about the Godzilla stuff, I almost like the black and white more than the color because their cameras were gorgeous. That black and white has more depth and tone than like some modern cameras to me.
Yeah.
And it just the way it looks and the way it, those were beautiful cameras. Those cameras had to be really expensive for the time because they cut the depth of field and the color range, even on those Godzillas and even some of those goofball movies that we watch, are gorgeous.
Exactly,
I couldn't get nice enough prints of those. I wish I had the originals because I'd be like, oh my god, look at this thing, you know. And that's the way this one is too. It's not washed out or weird looking. It looks nice, you know.
Yeah,
it's high def kind of.
Yeah. So the monster sticks his hand in, and the girl like starts screaming.
Right.
And you know the thing runs away, and then they start. I forgot how they got, but basically
the kid takes the gun. He's like, I'll go after him or something like that. That's when he falls.
Right.
And he falls down to that cavern, and then they think he's dead. But then the mountain. That's when the mountain clan gets him. That's the next part
that's
of the story.
That's right. I was trying to figure out.
Because he had the gun, and he's like, "Oh, I'll go get that monster that touched your cheek or whatever."
And the mountain clan saves him, but they're kind of paranoid about the kid.
He falls in his pit, and they basically find. Then this is where they flash back to the Carradine and the group, and he's like, "Now this was a group of very superstitious, dumb people. They were like...
They worshipped the snowman.
Yeah, they worshipped the snowman, and they were not... They didn't have any exposure to, like, civilization, because this was deep in the woods, and no one knew them. You know, they didn't know anything. And then they cut back to this tribe. It's very much like the ones from King Kong, worshipping King Kong, you know.
Yeah, that was it, exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, they worshipped him, but they want to get rid of this kid... Because the head guy is superstitious about.
No, you brought evil to our country or to our town, and this is the Sex and Fury gal. So.
And then she was really young though, you know. And she was like, you know, this was like 10 years before, maybe 15 years before Sex and Fury or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. You know.
I mean, this was 1958, so Sex and Fury was about 1974 or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
It was early 1970s.
So she helps him. Does she help him get out? No. She's
no.
helping him get out.
They punish her and say, "You take these two dead rabbits to appease them." And when they leave, the whole clan beats him down, and they tie him up in this weird bondage-looking thing and hang him off the side of the cliff.
And there was vultures are flying, these fakey-looking vultures.
Oh, yeah, that was Birdemic all day long.
Yeah, that was Birdemic.
I was like, yeesh. So then they're like, well, then she comes back, and she kind of had a crush on the kid, and he's gone, and then she got mad, and it was just like, But then...
Then the caveman is walking around, and he's got like a deer or something. And he sees the kid hanging there, and he decides to save him. He pulls him up.
He lifts him up, rips the cords off, and he's like, well, see you, kid.
He looks at the girl and goes like, hey, how you doing? And then goes back into the...
And he left. You know, and then showed he had humanity. He showed he had...
At this point, he did.
Yeah. So then, okay, we're going to have a break. We're at a break point. Then when we come back, then what happens to this monster? What would turn this lovable lug of a guy with a little sidekick kid?
Yeah, he's got a little son.
What's
going to
turn him evil? We'll find out after the break. Stay tuned.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
It's Sunday, 8 a.m. You awaken and make love like there's no tomorrow. You may be right. The year of the cannibals, when love becomes a joke and murder a good citizen's lawful duty. The year of the cannibals, a year not too far from now. A year in a never world when men and women never touch, never feel, never love on pain of death. The year of the cannibals from American International Pictures and Technicolor. Starring Britt Eklund and Pierre Clemente, rated GP, all ages admitted. Parental guidance suggested.
I will never have sex with you, ever. If you were the last man on Earth and I was the last woman on Earth, and the future of the human race depended on our having sex simply for procreation, I still would not have sex with you.
What's your point, Vanessa?
All right, we're back. What's your point, Vanessa? So, yes, now we're kind of like... Because now I think is where they transition when Carradine goes, oh, well, now look at this specimen. Because he's telling...
They go to another room and go, let's go see Dr. So-and-so. Yeah. And then he has like this little
Dr. Yamada or something like that.
Yeah, he has this little ape boy. And they did an autopsy on him. And they're going like, well, you know, he's got... His half of his brain is like human. The other half is... primitive, and he's got like human like respiratory system, but you know, he's like a combination of two or whatever, but he has a bullet lodged in his chest.
And they're like, well, how'd that happen? Well, let me tell you. And that's when, like what I read, that's when a group found out about it, and they go to like...
Exactly, like in King Kong. There was a circus group goes there, and they go, oh, we gotta capture this, you know.
Carny folk, ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened.
Yeah, right,
just like always. And come into your town and steal your apes and your change and you don't win the stuffed animal.
When I was in elementary school, I remember like in October they used to have the fall carnival in the school. They had it in the yard, and the carnies would be walking around. You're like, hey now, be careful.
So yeah, so basically, and they drug the big one and take him, and then the younger one runs after and jumps on top of the truck. And they're like, hey, stop, there's the young one.
Yeah, because there's two trucks. You know,
like, blam, you hear a gunshot.
Because the guys try to capture the little, they saw the baby, and they try to capture in order to get the dad, but they ended up, like, missing the kid. The kid, like, knocked the heck out of him and got the dad instead, and they chloroformed him, and they dragged him, and they put him in the thing, and then the kid jumped on there, and,
they accidentally shoot him.
Yeah, well, they had to shoot him because he was loosening the cage for the dad.
So now the dad flips out, the dad, snowman, near creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the dad flips out and throws the trucks off of a cliff. Like, he goes postal at this point.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets angry and he goes back and he kills everyone in the village except for the girl.
But you know what was interesting, though? there was that one scene where he threw the trucks up, but one guy was still alive, and he was shooting at him. But this is the first time in the movie that I've ever seen where a guy is shooting, well, not the first time, but one of the few times, where the guy's shooting, and he actually ran out of bullets. It was like, oops, I ran out of bullets, and there wasn't like another gun or a pistol that shot 20 rounds or anything like that. Wow, so then he got it. So yeah, so then the monster goes to the village and tears it up.
He kills everybody. And then and that's when they're like, oh, and then the boy went
except
back.
Except the girl.
Yeah, except the girl. And then they went back to, because now they like went back because they wanted to get the monster or study it. Not get it. They wanted to study it. And that's kind of where this all merges together.
Yeah.
Where like the Dr. Yamada
the snow group.
The snow group came back and they're like, oh, well, this is really, if this creature is who you say it is, because the boy went back and said, oh my God, this abominable snowman just did this. Am I saying that right?
Abominable
snowman. Yeah, I think I'm missing some syllables in there. Yeah. I ain't learned up so good. I got to go to the library. That's when they kind of show up and the girl's like, ah, and then she says, well, he's in there, but I wouldn't go in there because he's gone nuts, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my turn. Yeah, so anyway, they all go.
Sorry. I'm like, cold toss.
I was like yawning, and I was like, what, me?
I didn't see that, though.
It was like, okay, so then the girl like goes, okay, got to go in the cave, and they're like, okay, you know, be careful. So they get into the cave, but the snowman, he's like, he sees them, and they start shooting at him, right? But he grabs the girl.
Yeah, he grabbed the girl.
He
grabbed the girl before the party.
He grabbed the girl from the party before.
Not the villager girl.
No, she's the one who took him there. He grabbed the other
girl
from the party.
I'm sorry, that's why they went there, because he grabbed the girl and didn't kill her, but grabbed her. Then they were like,
dragging her around like a rag doll, too.
Yeah, I know, it was weird. And then they go, where'd he go? I don't know. And he's like, oh, well, this villager will know. And then they show up and the village is razed except for this one girl sitting there crying. And they're like, hey, man, we got to go to that guy. He stole this dude's chick. And then she's all like, well, I'll show you, but I'm not going in. But she did it anyway.
So then
they go in there. And then because she still felt responsible for the murder. Like, she didn't know about the bullet thing. She thought he did that because she brought a boy there, like, you know.
So
they go in, and then this girl's, like, up there just kind of, like, going, oh, look at me, I'm olive oil, I'm so scared. And then they're trying to advance on him, and he's whipping rocks at him, and he's like, ah, he's still freaking out. And they're shooting at him, and the village girl goes up there, and she's like, hey, you know, she pulls a knife, and he grabs her.
Because he had dropped the other girl already, so she was dead, but she was still alive.
Yeah, she's laying there.
So village girl decides to be brave and goes up to the guy and starts to fight him. I go, oh, that's a fair fight, you know, abominable snowman who can throw rocks and against village girl or whatever.
Yeah, but she had a knife.
She had a knife.
And she was from Sex and Fury, so my money was on her.
Yeah.
But, you know, and now they're shooting at him, and then he falls,
she's fighting him with a knife, and she can't kill him, but they're shooting at him, so finally, they get he grabs the girl, and he's getting ready to kill the girl, and they finally get around, and he falls, but he drags the village girl with him into, like, the pit of lava.
They both go
lava
like lava, they both fall into a lava
which
pit.
Which is weird, I thought she was going to live, but I guess not, the whole village had a girl, you know, and the other girl was fine.
Thank God you saved me.
And then they took the baby, you know, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, that was the end of the movie. Good
Interesting,
movie.
Interesting, moody movie.
I did, at first I was like, ooh, I thought it was going to be a bad movie. But
this movie doesn't get good reviews because people hate the fact that they butchered it.
Fans, that doesn't matter, who
fans,
cares?
But I would like to see the original, maybe, subtitle
at
some point. But I like this enough, you know.
Yeah, the way this was done wasn't distracting.
No.
Believe it or not, Moonface John Carradine did a fine job.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
His voiceover work was great. Not great, good. It was fine. I mean, it was like, wow. But, I mean, it was done well. It wasn't boring.
No. It was only like an hour, so.
Yeah,
an
hour and five or something.
It went by pretty fast.
And like I said, I do love Honda. I love his stuff. I love the camera they use, those that depth.
Yeah, the moody photography. When they went into the cave was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, with the monster and the shadows and all the stalactites and all that
stuff.
It's always competent.
When, you know, Mysterions, you have this line with these things, it doesn't even distract you. You're watching, you're like, it looks normal. It looks like, to me, it looks like totally natural.
There was a time when some of the miniature work was pretty.
Yeah, but
it was pretty like sketch.
But for the most part, this one was fine. I was worried when I saw it was what it was, but then once I got into the story, it was
enough. Your worries were over.
It was enough to carry it, you know.
Yeah.
Don't hit me. I find some kind of parts of King Kong boring.
The original.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where this one. Not, I mean, and again, I don't hate it.
Well, I remember this movie was edited.
No, I know, and that's the thing. Probably this full length might be sloggish, and I don't mean boring.
Well, because there's a love triangle in it, so I'm sure the middle part of the movie is going to be a lovey-dovey triangle.
Of course. And that's what I mean. I'm not criticizing King Kong, some of that stuff is just like, okay, let's get to the monkey. You know what I mean? Like we're good. I'm good. This is okay. You know, but it's when you watch it, it's a good movie.
That's how
I felt about this one. So yeah, I love this movie. I'm gonna go like an 8. It's pretty high.
I'll give it like a 7.
You know, and it's worthwhile
checking out.
I would love to find out what the original one was.
You can look at it. They talk about it online. You can find it.
All right, I might have to find it.
They talk about it. Actually, I think Wikipedia does, or somebody.
Oh, it would Wikipedia. Hot link to it, right? Yeah.
No. I think either the Wikipedia or no, it was another website. But they do a review of the Japanese, and they do a review of Half Human also. So they
probably trashed this because they're like, well.
Oh, pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
Luckily, we're not pretentious. We like dumbed down movies.
Exactly.
Right to my dumbed down level.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you got anything else?
That's good?
That's it for me this week, too. I'd say go watch Half Human from 1958.
I don't know if it's out anymore. I have it on VHS.
Boy, I couldn't find it. I didn't see it.
I have it on VHS from like Rhino from like the 80s or something like that.
Nice.
But it might be out on, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope
anyway,
so.
Anyway, you know, all right, check it out if you see it.
Yeah, check it out if you see it. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And we'll see you next week for more Sonny Chiba action. Maybe not, but yeah, I'm just kidding. See you next week. Sing us out of here, green slime.
You gotta give me a ride. I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
Pour it on, Morris. Give it everything she's got.
Open the door, you'll find the secret. To find the answer is to keep it. When you find something screaming across your mind, green slime. What can it be? What is the reason? Is this the end to all the creatures? Is it just something in your head? Would you believe it when you're dead? Green slime, green slime. What can it be? What is the reason? Is this the end to all the creatures? Is it just something in your head?